Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivera from the Center for Firearm Injury Prevention. And we're lucky today to have one of our members to talking about one of her papers. This is Dr. Heather Barnett, who's an assistant professor in the Department of Rehabilitation Medicine here at the University of Washington. And she recently published an interesting paper in Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation Journal. So thanks for talking with us today, Heather.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me, Fred.
Good. Maybe you can start a little bit by tell us a little bit about yourself. What do rehab medicine physicians do?
I am a rehab medicine physician, and my specific area of expertise is in spinal cord injury. Rehab medicine, I think, is a sort of maybe poorly understood field, or not as a field that a lot of people are not as
Right.
familiar
That's
with,
why
you
I
know?
asked.
And I think the way I think about it in sort of a short form is it's really a focus on function and people's ability to live their lives and how that interacts with their medical conditions. And so sometimes I'll tell people a rehab doctor is really a doctor of function. And what we do is work with people who have injuries, whether that's kind of trauma, like we're going to talk about today, or other things like strokes, musculoskeletal injuries, and really help them get back to doing the things in their lives that they want to do. And that can be basic things, like getting from place to place or
Right.
mobility, taking care of themselves. And then also, some of my sports medicine colleagues work with athletes and people who are, tend to get a lot of injuries doing very high endurance sports and things like that, but really focusing on addressing issues in the musculoskeletal system and the neurologic system that really impact how people can do their daily activities, their jobs, all the things they need to do in their lives.
Great. Oh, that's terrific. So, based upon your clinical experiences, what led you to conduct this study?
That's a great question. I have worked with patients with firearm injuries for a long time. I have spent most of my training at Harborview, and that's where I practice clinically as well. And as I'm sure you're aware, firearm injury is a huge issue across the United States. And we see hundreds of patients per year who have been injured by firearms. Spinal cord injury, which is, my specific area, the third leading cause of spinal cord injury in the US is violence or generally from guns.
Wow.
And so we see a pretty large number of patients who have these injuries. And over the course of my training and practice, I've really seen the ways in which patients who have firearm injuries, really there are disparities in the care they receive. Some of that is, Black and brown communities and systemically marginalized communities are the communities that are disproportionately harmed by firearms. And those communities often have other barriers to accessing the healthcare system, which if that's being uninsured, underinsured, poor experiences with the healthcare system, and a variety of other limitations. I think individuals with firearms really often are not getting the care to optimize that function piece after their injuries.
Right.
I think, there's also, I think in the healthcare system, there really can be a lot of bias towards patients who have been injured by guns or who have been injured by violence, and a lot of assumptions that get made. And that's one of the things, we're doing a qualitative study as well, talking with patients who have been injured by firearms in their experiences. And people do notice like a various interactions in the healthcare system and sometimes out of the healthcare system too, just the assumptions that are made about someone who's injured by a gun. And I think that really leads to both poor experiences in the healthcare system and really lack of access in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about firearm injuries. We always talk about deaths, but in fact, most people who are shot live with these
Right.
consequences. So tell us about your study. What were the data that you used, and what were your main findings?
This study, to kind of briefly go over what we were looking at, one of the issues is people don't always think about that access piece. And
Right.
I think in rehab, we approach things often from that injury being the starting place. And so people don't always think about like, why would someone with a gun related injury or firearm related injury have a different outcome than someone else. And I think really bringing some awareness to this issue of access. So with this study, what we did, we started with the Harborview Trauma Registry. And so that's basically any patient with a traumatic injury who presents within 14 days to the emergency department. And we looked at what happened to them after discharge. A lot of times in the hospital, protocols are fairly standardized, and access is not always as big of an issue,
Right.
because the person, the physical therapist is in the hospital, right? You can get that, and the barriers are not quite as high. So we really wanted to focus on the outpatient setting, which unfortunately none of that data is in a trauma registry.
Right.
So what we did with this study was link our trauma registry data with the Washington All-Payer Claims Database, which is a state-administered database of medical billing claims from primarily Medicaid as the sort of base. But at this time, Washington also has private insurers report their claims data. So it gives us actually a pretty wide, variety
Right.
of people to follow over time. And so what we did is we compared patients with firearm injuries to those who had other types of trauma, like car accidents or, falls or sports related accidents. And we compared their post-discharge use of physical therapy. The other thing we did in this study was we tried to really capture some covariates or some variables that would kind of simulate who needs physical therapy, right? That was one of the questions that came up is how do we really know who needs physical therapy and who doesn't? Which there's not a perfect answer for that question, but we tried to kind of address what types of injuries do we think would make someone more likely to need physical therapy, things like that. And what we found was that people with firearm injuries were less likely to get any physical therapy after discharge, controlling for these factors, compared to other patients with other types of trauma. And then we also found that the number of visits that they had after discharge was lower than the number of visits that someone with a different kind of injury had, again, controlling for sort of similar types and severities of injury.
Do you think that this would also be true of other services such as occupational therapy and speech language services?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think this is probably true of most healthcare services. People, I think there's some studies out there that there is decreased follow-up among patients with firearm injuries for surgery clinic or all kinds of medical care. So I think this is probably true somewhat generally. Physical therapy, we really focused on physical therapy. As a rehab medicine doctor, it was hard, people said you could just clump everything together. And I really
No.
wanted to, I really, we got really into the weeds of defining, like being
Right.
really sure that we're looking at physical therapy. I do think it would be similar for the other types of therapy, but not as many people receive occupational therapy or speech therapy in general, just based on kind of how trauma works and the types of injuries that those different groups see.
Were the patients who had inpatient rehab after their acute care more likely to get post-discharge PT?
That's a good question. I think there's a couple of things. So just I guess to clarify, we looked at discharge from acute care. So anybody who discharged from the
I
hospital. So
see.
patients who a trauma registry, when somebody discharges, they can discharge to inpatient
Right.
rehab. So that's not really included in the hospital course. What we did see was that basically this trend is true in any setting, right? And so people receiving therapy in the outpatient setting, when we looked at just outpatient setting and kind of got rid of certain other settings like skilled nursing, we still see the same effect. And then also I can say so we didn't necessarily separate out people who had inpatient rehab after their acute care stay into a separate group. I suspect those patients would have higher, physical therapy use after discharge in general, just
Right.
because that's a group that really needs physical therapy. I have looked in other studies at people who have gone through inpatient rehab and then the follow-up after that. And we do still see this disparity of individuals with firearm injury, or specifically individuals with spinal cord injuries who complete inpatient rehab and then leave, do have lower use of services, decreased follow-up compared to people with other causes of specifically spinal cord injury.
What do you think about mental health needs of these patients? Do you have any idea how much they're getting care after injury compared to like motor vehicle crash victims?
That's a great question. And I think that's actually one of the things that we're studying, kind of we'll get some more data on in the near future. I do think, individuals who are injured by firearms do have a huge need for mental health services. I think that, interestingly enough, in some ways, I think that's appreciated more by, the firearm injury community and maybe clinicians. So I guess to get into a little bit of what we're seeing in some preliminary analyses is that kind of the total use of mental health services is not as different between these two the populations. I think there's still some really interesting sort of discontinuities between the inpatient and outpatient setting, but I think there's some awareness among clinicians, and there's some things built into the systems to kind of provide some mental health support. So I think that's maybe one of the surprising things is it
That is
doesn't look
surprising,
exactly
yeah.
the same. That being said, mental health use after trauma in general is pretty low, and so some of those effects are just small,
Right.
because it's just not a it's in general not as utilized by people. So I think there's a lot to look into with that, but I do think it also highlights that, sometimes I think we talk about the need for mental health care, which is so clear, but I wonder if some of the thought behind that too is a bit of an assumption that people's medical needs, people's physical health is taken care of. And I think what we saw in this study and what I've seen clinically, and I think what patients are telling us is that not all of these needs are being met, whether they're physical
Right.
needs or mental health needs, not all of those needs are being met.
We have a terrific trauma center. I think we all work there and believe in it greatly. But what do you think we can do better to help take care of these patients?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, I'm sure you're also aware working here of the violence intervention program.
Right.
So I think specifically thinking about the firearm injury population, I think that's been an amazing resource for patients and for providers. And I think they do a really great job of supporting patients to access care after discharge. I think specifically for rehab, I've worked with that team, and I think there's a lot of areas that I'm really excited about kind of partnering with them and kind of collaborating and integrating some of those services, because I think providing that holistic care is really critical. I think some of our violence intervention professionals will help provide transportation for patients to get back to their appointments. We'll go to appointments with patients, kind of help support patients in what's often a pretty hostile medical environment.
Right.
That makes sense.
Well, anything else, Barnett, that you want to mention?
I'm really grateful to be able to talk about this. I think, my focus has really been on survivorship after firearm injuries and improving people's longer term outcomes. And I think that there's been more and more interest in this over time, which is really great. So, this article was also featured in an editorial by the journal, and that was really great to see, to see people comment on LinkedIn, which I am entirely new to and trying to figure out how it works. But to kind of see other clinicians say, I see this too, and it's great to have some awareness and kind of bring that to the forefront a little bit, I hope.
Very much. We've been speaking with Dr. Heather Barnett from the Department of Rehabilitation Medicine here at the University of Washington. Let's look at our other podcasts on our website, and thanks very much.